College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870 WWL. Mike DeTillo along with Charlie Long. Want to tell everybody, we've had some people ask about how they could hear the interview again with Cam Jordan. And you know you can always listen to an entire show live. So Odyssey makes it easy to listen when you want, how you want. Listen to this show or any of our WWL time-shifted podcasts. You can hear it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. You can hear that interview Charlie and I did with Cam Jordan in our number one. On our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talking Text Line from Tiger Rag Magazine, back from SEC Media Days, Glenn Gilbo from Tiger Rag. Glenn, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Sure. Good afternoon. How are you, Mike?
Doing great. Gilbo, I'm going to ask you right off the bat. Charlie and I talked about this. Man, the big debate. You hear it on television, and the top quarterback in the SEC, and listen, you're not wrong with whoever you pick. If you would pick Garrett Nussmeier or Marcel Reed from A&M, what DJ Lagway did in year one at Florida, Lenore Sellers, to me, man, he's got a big upside to him. Certainly Arch Manning getting a lot of ink, and John Mateer coming in from Washington State now at Oklahoma. Who would you think is the best quarterback in the SEC entering the season?
Well, I'm leaning to DJ Lagway or Garrett, and keep an eye on Arch. I think Steve Sarkisian, I think, is the best quarterback coach, best offensive coordinator, head coach in the SEC. I think Arch is about as ready as a non-starter could be. But it's going to be tough against Ohio State to start things. But then the schedule gets easier for Texas. So I think by the end of the season, it might be Arch or Garrett by the time they get to the end. And they ought to be playing one another in the regular season had the SEC listened to me a couple of years ago and made Texas and LSU annual opponents. It just makes sense, border states and so forth. But you got to see Arch Manning play at LSU or host LSU at some point, I would hope. But, yeah, and, you know, I like Lenore Sellers, too. But I think Arch is eventually going to be the guy, if not Garrett.
Glenn, well, we would talked about this also, your team from the SEC to win it. And both Charlie and I picked Texas. And I agree with you, and having people that I know really well that have been on staffs with Sarkisian, they praised him as being the most innovative offensive mind they've been around in the college ranks, how well he schemes against a defense. And, Glenn, I think the big thing, I pointed this out to Charlie, that before he got there, that was not a great emphasis on building up front offensive defensive lines. Look what he's done. How well he's recruited up front along the offensive defensive line. So I'm going to ask you, who's your pick to be the SEC champion for 2025?
Yeah, I'm picking Texas too. You know, I picked Texas last year, and Steve Sarkisian, he gets a little closer each year, and he's got kind of the same problem Lane Kiffin has. He hasn't been able to win that big game. Sarkisian's gotten into more big games than Lane, but both of those guys are really talented, state-of-the-art offensive coaches, and Steve has more advantages in recruiting geography than does Ole Miss. But I think Steve's finally going to win the big one or a couple of big ones this year and win it all, and I think Lane sooner or later is going to get one too.
When you look at how the schedule sort of kind of reeks out a little bit and how it ended last year for Florida, man, Billy Napier went from, to me, on the edge of catching the guillotine. I mean, it was close there, and then they make that run late, and Florida's schedule is tough, But where I thought they made a big improvement, certainly Lagway jumps out at you as a player, but how well they played on defense. They were holding opponents late to 20 points or less. And, Glenn, I still think in the SEC, you got to play great defense. That's how Georgia has won it when Coach Saban was at Alabama. That's how they won it. I still believe that Florida's got a shot here with Napier. And it because of the fact their defense is so improved and what I saw late last year from the Gators.
Yeah, well, nobody held Garrett Nussmeier and LSU's offense down better than Florida late last season. LSU looked sick in that game. And, you know, I think Billy has gradually, you know, kept his head above water. He's got an advantage that Kelly has, too, the same guy who hired him is still there as the athletic director, and Scott Strickland is in good shape because his basketball team just won the national championship. So I think Napier is still going to have some more time, but Florida needs to wake up and smell the coffee like LSU and quit scheduling so difficult. That was necessary in the 2-4 game playoff, but it's not necessary in the 12-team playoff. When you're in the SEC, you know, Florida plays Miami and Florida State and LSU's got Clemson, you know, so that's going to be difficult for both of those teams. But I think LSU is going to win enough games after. I don't think they're going to beat Clemson, but I think they'll win 10 games after that and finish 10-2.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that because I saw you had posted that you think this will be a double-digit winning season for LSU. And where I have certainly concerns about offensive line. I know Brian Kelly kind of whiffed it off a little bit. Oh, I'm not concerned about it. We'll get that together. I think the biggest improvement from LSU this year is going to be on defense. I think that's where they have to make that big jump. If they're going to get into that top 12, this LSU defense cannot give up these chunk yards to teams who run the football and especially to mobile quarterbacks.
Yeah, I think Blake Baker in his second year as DC, I think you're going to see a jump. You know, he did pretty good last year, but, you know this, the best coaches make adjustments, and he failed miserably in that Texas A&M game. He couldn't adjust to the running quarterback, which was not new. So he's got to get better at that. But I like their defense. You know, they got some transfers like Jack Pyburn and Patrick Payton at defensive end. A.J. Halsey at free safety, Mansour Delaney at cornerback, and Tamarcus Cooley, also a nickelback. You know, they've made some real strong moves in the portal, particularly on defense. And, yeah, the offensive line remains the big question, which means the running game is also a big question because last year they had a good offensive line, at least on paper, and did not develop that run game. That's going to be the key for LSU to win 10 games and get to the playoffs is to have a solid running game with Caden Durham so Nussmeier doesn't have to make every play and try to force things, which he did during the three-game losing streak last year.
You know, Glenn, our friends over at USA Today released preseason projections for the SEC 1-16. They have Texas at 1, Georgia at 2, Alabama at 3, LSU at 4, Florida at 5, Oklahoma at 6, Tennessee at 7, Ole Miss at 8. And then the second half, which is Texas A&M at 9, Missouri at 10, South Carolina at 11, which feels a little bit low, Auburn at 12, Vanderbilt at 13, Arkansas at 14, Kentucky at 15, and Mississippi State at 16. My question for you is, you know, out of those eight teams past number 8 with Ole Miss, which once again, A&M, Missouri, South Carolina, Auburn, Vanderbilt, Arkansas, Kentucky, and Mississippi State, is there a snake in the grass in the SEC that maybe people are just kind of overlooking that you think could kind of hop into, if not just the top 8, maybe even the top 5 of the SEC?
Well, first off, I think Alabama, they're ranked too high there. They don't have a great quarterback coming back. You know, Ty Simpson's okay. He's like, I've seen him ranked like 10th in the SEC. Austin Mack is a more talented and athletic quarterback who you might see take over. But I still think Alabama's got too many issues this year. They're going to have it the year after, I think. I think LSU is up there higher than Alabama. I think South Carolina is not. It's about where they were picked, where you just said. I don't think they're going to be that great coming in. A snake in the grass might be Ole Miss. You know, they still have a lot of talent. Austin Simmons is a good quarterback. It's his first year, but I would say look out for the Rebels.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Glenn, we talked about Alabama, and you and I both great esteem and think the world of Nick Saban as a coach. I think he's the greatest to ever coach. When you think about comparing him to others, they didn't have guys come out early for the NFL draft. Okay, he had to deal with some of the NIL transfer portal stuff. It's remarkable of what he was able to piece together. And losing so many guys early to the NFL, man, you think about DeBoer and how much pressure's on him. You talk about some big moccasins that you put your feet in to go at Alabama, because even if you're, say, a 9-3 team, man, that don't cut it. Even a 10-2 team, that's not going to cut it at Alabama. They want to play for the SEC championship and a national championship. And I think Kalen DeBoer is a pretty good coach, but man, it's a different atmosphere in Tuscaloosa than it is anywhere else because of the past success of Coach Bryant and then Coach Saban. That man, that's a real tough sell for Alabama.
You don't lose to Vanderbilt, and definitely don't lose to Oklahoma by 3 touchdowns in the last game of the season, and you're never in the game. And, you know, that was 2 bogey losses, and they're not getting into the playoffs. I don't care what their brand is last year. But he's got 5 stars right now for this next class. I think he's ranked number 3. They're going to have probably, you know, another top 2 class or something. So he'll be on the way after that. But I don't see it happening this season. You know, I think maybe he'll have another 2 or 3 loss season this year. But, you know, it won't be pretty, but he'll last. You know, the thing I think what's happening now, Mike, is it's so expensive to get rid of a coach and hire a new one who you think might be better. But you got that burden of money to the NIL. You know, so the NIL is inadvertently given more security to coaches. The LSU basketball, men's basketball coach probably would not still be at LSU without the pressure to pay through NIL. So I think that's going to help coaches stay a little longer because you got to pay so much money for NIL.
At Auburn with Hugh Freeze, you know, and that was a controversial hire when they brought him in. He had great success at Ole Miss, and then things outside the game, so to speak, got him in trouble. And then, you know, he has success at Liberty. Do you think that's sustainable for Hugh Freeze at Auburn? With the pressure that's going to be put on him.
Well, he's following some coaches who were fired and were struggling. So it's not like, you know, he's following Bear Bryant or Nick Saban. But Freeze has the same problem that I think Billy Napier and Brian Kelly had. You know, they're coming in right as NIL is getting started. And LSU was really slow to adjust to NIL. They just now woke up and started adjusting to it last December in its 3rd or 4th year, you know, and Florida did the same thing. Those schools, Auburn too, they're used to recruiting to their stadium and to their tradition. Players don't care about that at all anymore. You know, they want the cash and then, okay, if you got a great stadium, that's cool. But Hugh has had trouble recruiting. You know, I think the fact that Saban is not at Alabama anymore may help him, but he and Auburn haven't adjusted to NIL quick enough.
The final question for you, Glenn, we have heard very little about how LSU is going to use Harold Perkins. Now, year one, off the edge, rush the quarterback. Okay, and he was great doing that. And he basically won the Arkansas game by himself when you look at how he dominated in the third and fourth quarter of that game and really won it when LSU was, they almost need life support at the end because, they sort of came in flat against the Razorbacks. But since then, they've tried to reinvent the wheel with him. I think that A&M game as a freshman they put too much stock in the fact that A&M could run the ball, ran it at him, and did run the ball well, extremely. And Achane was unbelievable in that game. But have you got any inkling how they're going to use Perkins this year, along with Weeks, as a tandem?
Well, I think the sad truth about Harold Perkins may be that he just might not be that good. You know, those first few games he played, that might have been fool's gold. And people weren't ready for that, and they adjusted to him. In addition to, like you said, LSU trying to reinvent the wheel and putting him at inside linebacker because that's a better career for him in the NFL. Well, you don't care about the NFL when you're in college. I'm sorry. You do what's best for your team right then. And I think they did try a little too much with Perkins, and I think he ought to just be an edge rusher, and that might not even be that good either because people are ready for him now. So we don't know because last year he got hurt early and we don't know what would have happened. So, but I think the best strategy with him is to just rush the quarterback like Bill Cowher told us. It's edge rusher in that famous NFL film. Just rush the quarterback. And Weeks is a little more versatile and he's better against the run and inside. But they need some more linebackers there to step up too.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's one area where I think you'd like to have a little bit more talent, a little bit more depth, but you could say that about just about any team, Southeast Conference or not. Glenn, thanks so much for joining us. Thank you for accommodating us today when we had to move you around. Always appreciate your insights, buddy. Thank you so much.
Hey, I don't mind backing up for one of the greatest Saints players ever in Cam Jordan, so no problem.
Thank you, Glenn. I appreciate
it. All right,
thank you. All righty, Glenn Gilbo from Tiger Rag Magazine.
College football summer is no time to slouch because we are taking you to school on the Cover 3 podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. It's time for our annual summer school series as we take time to break down some of your favorite teams with experts and insiders who know these depth charts from top to bottom. But summer school is just extra credit as we go through positional drafts, player rankings, and more. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.